You spoke earlier about the Lord as benevolent, and one must really take pause to think about incarnation, and not only incarnation, but to think about crucifixion, to really realize what grace and what love, what benevolence is associated with this Lord, that he would lay down his life and take it up again to receive this power and authority. But why do it in the first place? That's his love. How is it that is going to be great joy to all people? How can that happen apart from this redemptive work? And so in his greatness and in his authority, it's coupled with his love and affection, so that now his benevolence is manifest in going into death, in order that in resurrection he can do this wondrous work of bringing you and I into the joy of what it means to be under his authority in a moral way. It's quite an amazing thought to try to get your head around, but this sovereign one gives up and lays down his life, takes it up again, and God announces, this is the one who is Lord in Christ. Why did he do it in the first place? Mm-hmm. That's his benevolent love.
And that connects with Romans 14, verse 9, what you were just saying, because Romans 14, verse 9, to this end, Christ, the Anointed One, has died and lived again, that he might rule over both dead and living. This benevolence is seen in the fact that he gave himself, and now it is seen in how he rules. It is a rule of, yes, it will be a rule of judgment, but it is really intended to bring blessing. And I just want to draw your attention to this fact that the word rule here, in the King James, it says that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. It's a verb, so that's why it's translated rule in the Darby version, but it really means rule as Lord. So there we have this concept again. He's Christ, the Anointed One, and yet he also rules as Lord, the true Kurios. There you have the word Kurios as a verb. And so it is so amazing to me to see how intimately these two concepts are connected all the time.
I agree with what you say about the Kurios word. It is a verb. It's in the aorist tense, subjunctive. And there's three elements here. Christ died, he rose up, and he lived again. In the authorized version, the word rose up is in here. And they're all in the aorist tense. So I believe God, Jesus died at one point in time. Then a little later, at another point in time, he rose up. And another point in time, he was revived, which means to live again. So God is victorious. He's sovereign over all these things. And he proved it by dying, by being risen up and living again. Mm-hmm. And that makes him so sovereign Lord, mm-hmm, over these things. Mm-hmm. And then, so there was a purpose for his death. Mm-hmm. He had to conquer death. And he did that by experiencing it, mm-hmm, and then living afterwards. Mm-hmm.
That as far as the believer is concerned, that we never lose connection with the Lord, ever, even when we pass on. He is still our Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the encouragement in these verses, the context of them, at least from verse 7 on to 9, that whether we die or whether we live or die, the Lord is still Lord of our Lord. Mm-hmm. And he has that place with us because he's already passed through death. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing that can separate us from him, mm-hmm, nor his love.
Mm-hmm. Just in other words, nothing escapes his lordship.
That's right.
Everything is done in him.
Just to come on into the good of him as Lord in this position, what is the understanding of the dead and living? That's not. Does that speak of physical or eternal? Because the Lord could see the walking dead. The view of God of the unsaved or those who reject God is that person's dead. Is that what this is speaking of, or is this speaking of that which is in the eternal state?
I think it applies to whatever level you want to apply it. It is very general. Yeah. But it includes that the Lord is the one who will sit on the great white throne. Right. He will make all these dead people rise for right. him. They will receive a body. They will be judged and then will be cast into the lake of fire. That is how he will exercise his rights as Lord over the dead. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. over the living, it refers to us, he will exercise these rights in giving us a new body of resurrection. That this is a verse that shows the absolute power that he has. And as you said earlier, he exercised it in a benevolent way. Yeah, even yeah. when they will be cast to the lake of fire, it is because they rejected him. They just get what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking perhaps maybe this sense also, God reigns upon the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
The blessings of the eternal Savior fall upon the dead so that they have the potential to be saved until it's too late. So he's a blesser of both. Could be physical or, eternal.
Just listening to that one on the same chapter answers the question as to who the dead is. Verse 11 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So everyone. You know, nothing escapes his lordship. It says in Philippians, eternal beings, all will bow to him.
The side note, and that really, it's fascinating to me, this verb, to rule as Lord, is used 7 times in the New Testament. 7 times you find this verse, this word, rule as Lord. 21 times, rule as King. That's a different verb. And so that shows the perfection of Scripture. If there's one thing settled in Scripture, it's this: he is the one that rules, according to God's thought, as true Lord, as true King. And blessed be his name.
And it's interesting, this is coming in Romans. These verses are coming in Romans. More interesting, it's coming in the section from chapter 12 to chapter 15, where it is really now, as a believer who have appreciated and learned the gospel of God, how you live your Christian life. It's not a matter of, in the earlier chapter, I'm saved, now I could go and do whatever I want. But here, realizing and recognizing, because if you read chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, it all speak about practical relationship that we have living in day in and day out. Relationship with parents, relationship in the homes, relationship with authority, relationship at the workplace, relationship with one another. It's all should be under the umbrella and under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are in the kingdom of God. The moral display of this, his lordship in my life, it will express itself in my relationship with those who are around me.
That's why the kingdom of God is now righteousness.
That's right.
And peace and joy yep. in the Holy Spirit. Yep.